Hey everyone, my name is Pastor Phil. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. And we are so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us. We hope that you're blessed by today's message.
Good morning, everyone. Man, aren't you glad that you can be confident in the person and character of who God is? That He won't fail, right? That He's perfectly capable in all situations, in all circumstances. Man, thank you, team, for leading us this morning and just reminding us in who God's character is and how confident we can be in Him. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to Psalms chapter 23. Last week we were in Psalms 22, and I feel like we can't really rush past what's in Psalms 23. Now, last week, if you weren't here, Psalms 22 is not the pretty Facebook post of Christianity. Let me just put it like that, right? Where everybody puts their best picture forward. That's not Psalms 22 at all. It starts with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Right? That's pretty raw. This is not the pretty version of Christianity when you walk through Psalms 22. And as David is writing this song, a reminder for what it is, what it stands for, what he himself is walking through, we navigated this a little bit last week, this tension of what we feel sometimes versus what we know in God's character, right? We just sang about how He never fails, but sometimes, just sometimes, it feels like that's not accurate. Because of the circumstances we're walking through, the things that are going on in our life, and we can feel that tension. And I love that David doesn't land in this despair. But it is something real, right? It's raw, it's genuine. David genuinely went through suffering. David genuinely faced enemies. He had difficulties in his life. And I love where David takes us in Psalms 22. It points us in every sense, as we progress in that, to the cross, to who Jesus is. And David ends Psalm 22 with, He has done it, right? The finished work of Christ at the cross. And then you come into Psalms 23. Now, they may have been written at different times, but I don't think it's random or coincidental that what has been spoken of in Psalms 22 very similarly carries into Psalms 23. What started in Psalms 22 with David crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? After he's gone through that, turns into, my Lord, you are my shepherd. Right? Totally, it hits totally different. If you just came to Psalms 23 and just started with where David's at, you may even get this impression, well, this is David saying God's awesome because David's never had any problems. This is David, you know, you can say he had a silver spoon, and so of course he's going to praise God. No. I think it's very, very intentional that Psalms 23 comes right after Psalms 22. The difficulty, the struggle, the hardship. But what we're going to see, is what David is pointing to and why he writes this song, I think, is to remind us that we can be confident in who God is. That God, just like we sang, He does not fail. And we're going to walk through just Psalms. It's a simple psalm. It's a psalm you probably have heard before. It's often recited or spoken of at funerals. But there is some incredible depth in these six verses, and I'm going to try real quickly to walk through them today. When I rehearsed last night, I had an hour's worth of content. I have trimmed it out, just so you know. But we're going to try our best in these six verses to see the depth of what David is drawing us to pointing us to help us understand in our own walk, right? Like these songs are not just poetry that sound good. These are real things that help us in our life today. Even though they may have been written thousands and thousands of years ago, they matter and they're applicable to our life today. And so I want to do that with you this morning. Let's start with a word of prayer and then we'll get right into it. Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful day that you have given us, this wonderful week. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We know you are active and moving and always engaging with us over and over again, leading us, guiding us, directing us. Lord, help us to be attentive. Help us to hear. Help us to acknowledge the very thing that you want us to grasp and understand from this psalm. Lord, thank you for loving us before we even ever understood that love. Thank you for doing what you did for us on the cross. We are extremely grateful. We love you and thank you for loving us. Guide us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start, and I'm not going to read the whole psalm. Most of you can probably recite this if you've spent any amount of time in church. I'm going to walk through verse by verse, phrase by phrase, as we read Psalms chapter 23. David starts with the declaration, "The Lord is my shepherd." The very first line, David is stating a statement. He's making a declaration. Notice he doesn't say this. He doesn't say, "My Lord is a shepherd." That's intentional. He doesn't say, "My God is a God that's somewhere out there." He's not a distant God. He doesn't say, "Hey man, my idea of God in my head is this." No, he is confident. He is settled. He is rested in the fact that my Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. That's important. It's easy to walk past that and just think that's poetic narrative. It's not. You see, when David defines his relationship with God and he proclaims that his God, his Lord, is his shepherd, there is some very serious implications of that. See, what a shepherd does is it leads. A shepherd will lead, it will provide, it will protect. A shepherd will take responsibility for his flock, for his sheep. And so what does a sheep do? Well, if you know anything about sheep, they are very dependent creatures. They are vulnerable creatures. On their own, they have little to no direction, and they are all over the place, right? This is why shepherds are such an important role in the sheep's life. So when David is sitting here and he says, "Man, the Lord is my shepherd," he's not making this statement for the sake of song or the sake of poetry. What David is doing right off the get-go is he is defining and articulating how he himself relates to God. God being the shepherd and him being the sheep that needs the shepherd. This is a tough question for Christianity. I'm just going to be frank. Because we can say that, and it can sound good, but the question I want you to wrestle with today is this. Do I actually live like God is my shepherd? Because if he's our shepherd, I want you to hear this. And this is what David is laying out right from the get-go. If God is our shepherd, there is an implication to that. And I want you to hear this. I need to hear this. We all need to hear this. If God is our shepherd, the implication is this. We don't lead our lives. We don't determine our direction. We don't rely on our own understanding. When we say God is our shepherd, we acknowledge that all we do is follow. And that's hard sometimes, isn't it? Let's just be honest. That's hard sometimes. If you're anything like me, you like to control everything, right? Like you want to make sure you're not going to get hurt. You're going to want to make sure everything is the right way. And you want to make sure, this is just a natural part of me. Maybe you don't fall in that category, but maybe you do. If we are going to acknowledge right from the get-go that God is my shepherd, right from the get-go, we have to acknowledge that we're the sheep. We have to follow. David goes on, and in this very first verse, he says, "And I shall not want." Now I want to bring some clarity to that, right? That does not mean I get everything I want, right? We just got to be very clear about that, right? David isn't sitting here saying, "Hey, listen, because God's my shepherd, I get everything that I want in my life." That's not at all what he's saying. Not even close to what he's saying. He's not saying that, man, my life is going to be easy from here on out because God is my shepherd. We'll see this in a few verses. He's not saying there's never going to be any difficulty in my life. What he is acknowledging and what he is saying is, as God is his shepherd, he's not going to lack what he truly needs. And the reason he's not going to lack what he truly needs is because the shepherd takes responsibility for him. What David is actually saying in this very first line is the conflict that we all have to walk through. What David is acknowledging and stating right from the get-go is this: I trust him. I trust God. This is a very tense question we all have to navigate. Because when we really examine our lives, when we really examine that phrase, "Is God my shepherd?" and this tension of "Do I trust him?" oftentimes, and I'm just speaking from my own self here, you may or may not relate, oftentimes we find ourselves sitting in that seat where everything depends on me. My decision, my control, my outcome. And we actually don't trust God in the decision, in the circumstance, in the outcome. It's easy to say the Lord is my shepherd in a statement. What David is trying to challenge us to acknowledge and to really wrestle with in our hearts is, it's easy to say it with our mouth. Do we live it with our life? How we walk, how we talk, how we engage, how we handle stress, how we handle circumstances and situations in our life. As David continues in verse 2, David makes a very profound statement. He says this: he makes, circle that word makes, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Man, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Green pastures. In my mind, I think of a very slow-moving brook. Maybe there's birds chirping. Sounds wonderful. Until you realize something. Sheep, naturally, in their natural environment, they don't lie down. David is acknowledging and saying something here that's very important. And as a shepherd, David understands this analogy quite well. See, for sheep to lie down, a few things have to be true in their environment, in their circumstance, and their engagement with their shepherd. First is this: a shepherd to lie down has to feel safe. They have to trust where the shepherd has brought them and put them to feel safe. They have to have confidence that the shepherd is in fact caring for them, engaged with them, and has brought them to a place where they can relax, if you will. They have to have this sense of confidence. They can't be anxious or worried or fearful of what's around the corner or if there's danger. And so when David says this statement, He makes me lie down. David's actually giving us a window into his own life, into his own person. And some of us, maybe not all of us, but some of us might be able to relate to what David is acknowledging in his own life. See, David is saying, if he is left to himself, he wouldn't rest. He wouldn't stop. If David is left to himself, he's going to do and operate completely contrary to what the shepherd is asking him to do. And I think that's something we can all relate to. How often do we find ourselves not slowing down? In the hustle and in the bustle. We don't stop, we don't rest well, and even maybe when we have these moments of times in our life when things seem to be still, oftentimes our minds are still running. Are they not? Does anybody else relate to this, or is this just me in my world? I'm preaching to me. And that's okay. I mean, I need this sermon just as much as anybody, right? Like, this is real, right? This is a world we find ourselves in where it's a constant go. We're constantly running. And like I said, when we're sitting and we may have a minute to sit down at our breakfast table or in our living room, and we're still thinking and we're still running. So I ask myself, why is that? And I think this is what David is trying to bring to our attention. I think the reason we end up in that space is because we don't actually trust things are going to be okay. We don't actually trust the God we say is our shepherd. See, that mistrust can show up in many different ways, maybe ways we don't even recognize. One of those ways is this: we feel responsible for the outcome that actually belongs to God. And we add phrases to these kinds of ideas in our minds that go like this: if I don't figure this out, then if I don't fix this, then if I don't make this happen. In every one of those, there is a subtle implication that God's not big enough. And that the burden rests on me or you. See, we can, and I like to do this, and maybe you can relate to this, that feels like responsibility. The reality is that's not really responsibility, that's actually control rooted in mistrust. We might see this come up in other ways. Man, like, we can scroll on our phones, there's so much access to media and different formats. We can scroll for hours, but man, if we were to sit still quietly before God for 5 minutes, we can't even do that. We're like freaking out. Why? Why does it feel that way? Well, I think that exposes what David is trying to help us understand. Man, if we sit still in that 5 minutes, we might have to deal with what's actually going on inside of us. We might be a little terrified and not trust what God might be trying to do in that space with us internally and in our hearts. And that terrifies us, so we stay busy. It's easy to scroll on something that maybe never impacts your life, but man, you take a minute with God and He might expose something that's very uncomfortable. Instead of receiving God's peace, and God's word speaks often about God's peace, we often try to control every variable in our life. We try to plan every outcome in our life. We try to eliminate every single unknown that may come around the corner or pop its head into our world. And when we try to rest, I think that just examining this in my own life, and maybe you relate, maybe you don't. But man, when we try to rest, oftentimes we speak of that word rest in this sense: entertainment, distraction, or checking out. That's not real peace. See, biblical rest is this: trusting that God is in control. That's peace. That's confidence. God is in control. Even when we are not managing or actively managing the situation. See, I want you to hear this, and this is what David is trying to draw our attention to, back to the analogy of the shepherd and the sheep. Sheep don't rest because the sheep have figured everything out. Sheep rest because they trust the shepherd. They know that he has their best interest. They know that this is a safe place. They know that no matter what is going on around in the circumstance or the environment, they know he is trustworthy. See, that's the real issue David is hitting in these first few verses, is do we actually trust God in our life? David continues in this and he says, man, he leads me beside still waters. Notice it's not rushing waters. It's not chaotic waters. It's not noisy waters. It is still waters. Taking that time to be still, to be quiet in the presence of God. David loves this. He's confident in this. See, most of us live a life where the waters around us, man, they're rushed, they're distracted, they're overloaded, they're constantly moving. Man, I relate to this extremely, and I'm going to be honest with you, as I was preparing this, the Lord was convicting me, myself, and I. It's easy to live that and be distracted. And then we come back to this place in our life where we go, man, I wonder why my soul is so exhausted. You ever been there? See, you can't be led by the shepherd if you're always trying to run in front of him, or you're always trying to run away from him. Right? There's two elements here that are very difficult for us as sheep to grasp and understand. And it's rooted in this confidence in our shepherd. If we're trying to outpace the shepherd, guess what? We're going to find ourselves in a dangerous, tumultuous situation. Or if we're in the opposite side of that, we're seeing the shepherd and we're like, no, I don't want to go that way. I'm going to go there. And we're kicking and screaming and fighting every way of it. Psalms 23, verse 3. I love this. David is acknowledging that when we trust the shepherd, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Right? He restores. That man, I don't want to just brush past that phrase. He restores my soul. David is recognizing that when we drift as sheep, we can find ourselves in a place of chaos, danger, and urgency. And where David's confidence lands is in his confidence that the shepherd is, in fact, paying attention. And that his leading is good and purposeful and intentional for our lives. See, David is saying this, man, when he recognizes to stop kicking and fighting the leading of the shepherd, something starts to happen in his soul. It starts to be restored. See, that word restored has to do with this: bringing back, reviving, realigning. When David says he restores our soul, there is an assumed assumption in there. And what David is saying is, hey, I have a tendency to drift and I need to be brought back. I need to be realigned. I need to be brought to this place where I can be confident and trust the shepherd. David is saying drift is natural for even him. We can get worn down. We can get distracted. We can get pulled away. And what David is confident in is this: the shepherd is active and engaging and is willing to bring us back, to restore us. We felt this. I know we felt this. Man, if we're not doing the right thing, we're walking in ways that we know are contrary to God. Man, the Holy Spirit starts to prick our hearts. What is that? That is God subtly trying to say, hey, this way, come this way. That's not the way you want to go. You're not where you should be. Your heart isn't right. Your focus has shifted from me. Love, he says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. Paths of righteousness. This is the right way to live. This is the way God has established, the way that God has set. It is the right path. You know what's really interesting about this? While God can set the path, this is very interesting, while God sets the path, the sheep still have to make the intentional choice to trust the path and actually walk on it. It's a two-part issue there. There is the part that we have with God and the part that God has for us. God says, hey, here's the path I have for you. Walk in it. Trust me. It's okay. I've got you. We still have to, this is the trust dichotomy. We have to say, okay, I trust you. I may not be able to see everything. I may not be able to understand anything, but I know you're a good shepherd and I'm going to follow you. As David is walking through this, we see what David is pointing to. He's pointing to what following the shepherd looks like. What does following the shepherd look like? It looks like obedience when it's inconvenient. It looks like trust when it doesn't make any sense. It looks like surrender when you'd rather have control. Now let's just be honest, that's really hard. Is it not? That's really hard. See, what David is trying to do here is he's trying to say, hey, the shepherd leads. We can trust his leading. His path is right. And he does it for his namesake. We sung about this. His faithfulness. His faithfulness. It is for his namesake, his character. He's saying, listen, I'm a good shepherd, and you can trust me. You can trust the path that I've put before you. It's good. It's for your good. I'm not against you. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to harm you. I have a path that is right for you. You can trust me and walk in it. And he does this, and he says, you're going to see this. It's for my namesake. You're going to see my glory in this path. Verse 4, I think, is really a pivotal part in this psalm. As we progress and we see this, David is acknowledging, listen, I can be right with God, I can follow God, I can call him my shepherd, I'm confident in who he is, but listen, let's just be honest, there are still times in our life when it is hard. It might even be dark. Look at, he says this in the next verse, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Anybody want to go there? That doesn't sound great. Wait a minute. We were just talking about still water, green pastures. It sounded awesome. Why are we now talking about this horrible place, the valley of the shadow of death? Because David's a realist. He's not just putting pretty pictures out there for everybody to look at and say, this is it. No, he's honest. He's genuine. He's authentic. He's like, man, sometimes we go through hard things. Very hard things. Difficult things. Even though I walk, right? He's acknowledging there is a reality to this. The valley, those represent low places. Maybe even, and when you really look at the physical terrain of a valley, it is a confined space. You have a hill on either side, and all you do if you walk through a valley, it is a confined space. It's a space where you can't really see a long distance. Think about it. If I was a sheep, I'd rather be on the hilltop. I can see a lion or a predator or danger coming from a long distance. But if I'm in the valley, man, I can't see around the corner as it's winding, as it's going up. I can't see where it's going. I don't know what's at the end of this valley. Man, there could be a giant cliff or a barbecue. I'm just going to throw it out for the sheep reference, right? I have no idea. terrifying. The valley's a scary place for a sheep, right? You're walking through that. You don't know what's coming. You don't know what's around the corner. You don't know what dangers there are. You can't even put this in real life. The circumstances you're walking through, sometimes they are hard. They're difficult. You can't see where the outcome is coming. You can't see what's ahead. And all you have in that moment is to know, hey, I am going to be okay. Why? David gives us the answer. Why am I going to be okay? And this is what is so powerful as we walk through this understanding of what David is saying. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why can David be so confident? Why is David so confident? This next phrase is his answer. Because you are with me. You are with me. Wow. What David is laying down here, and I want you to see this, up until this point, David has been using verbs and expressions like this. He leads me. He restores. He makes me lie down. But now he shifted in the middle of the valley, right in the middle of the place that is fearful, terrifying, uncertain. He goes and he says, and he shifts from he to you. You are with me. What he's doing is he's starting from going from information up here to recognizing, and he's shifting his conversation from information to a real relationship. God, I know, even in the midst of my difficulties, you. He's praying. This ties right into our series, Praying the Psalms. Man, the Psalms aren't just songs. Sometimes they're desperate prayers. David is saying, man, you, God, I know you are with me. David shifts his thinking from talking about God to starting to talk to God. God, I know in the midst of this valley, you are my shepherd. You are trustworthy. I can confidently proclaim you as the one who I follow. You see, the greatest promise in Psalms 23 is this, and I want you to understand this. It's not that you get to avoid the valleys. That's not the promise of Psalms 23. Psalms 23 says very clearly, we're going to walk through valleys. The promise is not that we get to avoid the valleys, but that as we are walking through the valley, there is a good shepherd with us. That we are not alone in it. Oftentimes, when we are going through this, we want answers, we want explanations, we want to know. And I love that God doesn't always give us the answers or the explanation, but what he does give us is the confidence that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That even in the midst of those valleys, we can be confident, God, you are with me. Hallelujah. Amen. Like, that's something we can get excited about, right? I can see this because this is a song. This is where we would get excited and sing about what wonders God does. He is with me. Man, I'm not a musician, but I would see this as being the greatest part of the song, right? Like, drums are hitting, guitars are blaring. Yeah, God's with me. It's just what I see. But oftentimes, man, this is the reality we walk in, and this is why that question is so vital for us to be confronted with. Do I actually live like God is my shepherd? Because if we're honest, we don't always recognize that. We don't always recognize that in the hardest parts of our life, God is actually right there with us. We are waiting for the situation to change, the pressures to lift, the outcome to improve, the answers to be revealed. We are waiting for the explanation to be given before we go, okay, now I'm okay. The truth is this. If we think that getting out of the valley is when we're okay, we've missed the fact that God's been with us the whole time. And we have to start understanding that no matter what we walk through, no matter what valley we're going through, we're okay because the shepherd is with us. That's the confidence that David is expressing here. That's the confidence that he is acknowledging and reminding himself of. That we are not there all alone and all by ourselves. We have a confidence. And look at this, he goes on, in that confidence, as we are walking this valley, listen to what David is saying. He goes on and he says, "Your rod and their staff, they comfort me." They comfort me. Why? Why? Because in the valley, listen, if you want to talk about one of the most dangerous places for sheep, it's in the valley. Predators, dangers, cliffs, falling rocks. I mean, I'm just thinking through in my head what this looks like. David says the rod, the staff, they're what help him. If David say, like, listen, when I'm starting in this and I'm starting to drift, where do we often drift? In the valley, right? He's like, no, I got a shepherd that's going to pull me and direct me in the right path to keep me from danger, to protect me, to watch over me. These are all tools that the shepherd uses, the rod and the staff. It implies, and I want you to see this, it implies, and this is where David is acknowledging it as a comfort, it implies the shepherd is actively involved in that situation. The rod, the staff. David is saying, hey, my shepherd's not some shepherd that rules from a tower. He's actively in my space. He's directing me. He's pulling me. He's guiding me. He's correcting me. He's helping me navigate these tumultuous valleys. And David is saying, and we would all say, man, what a comfort that is, right? What a comfort that is when we acknowledge, man, God's with me even in the hardest things in our lives. The valley of the shadow of death. He's saying, God, you are with me. You're guiding me. You're directing me. You're realigning me on the right path. And David says, thank you, God. Man, it's so awesome. It's such a comfort. And I want to say this, just as a slight rabbit trail. I've heard this illustration be said that this is sometimes, the rod is sometimes used as a tool that the shepherd uses to break the sheep's leg. It sounds wonderful. Not really. I just want to say this. I don't think the shepherd ever harms the sheep to teach it a lesson. I don't think there's anything biblical that affirms that. I'm not saying that we don't go through hard things or difficult things, but the tool that God uses is not ever meant to harm or hurt us. It's meant to correct us, to guide us. I was looking through historical things to try to affirm, hey, is there any kind of shepherding technique that this would be affirmed in? Like, there are writings in the Jewish antiquities that would talk about shepherding practices. Nothing in there implies that shepherds would intentionally break the sheep's leg to keep them close. I think it really represents God's character. And sometimes we kind of shift the hurt we're experiencing and say, yeah, God, you hurt me to keep me close. I don't think that's real. I think what God, the character of who the good shepherd is this. He does not harm his sheep to teach us, to guide us, to correct us. These tools are used as tools to protect us, to correct us, and to keep us from destroying ourselves. That's my rabbit trail. When I really look at these tools, in my mind, in my heart, I see them as they're a sign that God is near. He is with me. David is saying it as a comfort, a confidence, that he isn't just out there managing from a distance. He is close. He is intimate. This is the relationship we talk about having with God. He is right there with us. David goes on. And he tells us something very powerful in the next verse. He shifts from being in the valley, to being at a table. He says, "You prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. At first, this doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm going to be honest. When I was reading through this, I was really confused. Like, Lord, we're in the valley. I know you're with me. I'm confident about you. Where does a table come in? What are we talking about? And it goes even, it's even deeper than that. See, I would expect David to sing about, man, Lord, we escaped the valley. Lord, man, I got relief from the valley, right? Man, Lord, all the enemies that surround me, they're gone now. That's what I would expect David to sing about. Man, great, the problem's gone. The situation's over. I'm good now. That's not what David sings about. He says, you prepared a table before me, and I want you to not miss this, in the presence of mine enemies. David has confidence that, listen, I am so at peace, and I so trust God that I can sit down at a table and eat, and my enemies can watch me, and I am good. My enemies can be looking at me. This is the confidence that David is speaking about when he is speaking about the confidence of who God is and his character. He's like, listen, I can be surrounded by my enemies and I can take time and I can enjoy a meal. He says, you anoint me. That's an honor, right? That's God saying, hey, come in, be a part of this. Relax, take a load off. And I love where David carries this and he moves into this. Not only does he anoint his head, but he says, my cup overflows. What David is saying is this, man, God's goodness, it's not just about barely getting by. God's mercy isn't just enough. He's saying God's goodness is abundant, man. It's more than enough. It overflows. Even in the midst of the valley. David is affirming that God is saying, hey, listen, I want you here. I've got you. You're going to be okay. What he is expressing is this close relationship that God is inviting us to be a part of. Come sit at my table. Take a load off. Relax. Enjoy. Let your cup overflow. Let my grace and my mercy come into your world and overflow in your life. See, all of us, some of us, occasionally, I'm using these words intentionally, as we wrestle with the Psalms, find ourselves in the place where we just approach God like we don't belong. We don't know if God really wants us there. And what Psalms 23 is telling you this is that, man, God has prepared a place for you. God's prepared a table for you to come and join him and dine with him and rest in that confidence and that peace that he is there and he is going to sustain you. We jump in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Notice he doesn't say some of the days of my life. Notice he doesn't say when it's convenient for God or convenient for me. He says all the days of my life. And he starts with the phrase surely. That's a confidence. That's not maybe. That's not hopefully. That's not if things go right. That is confident. It's settled in David's mind. No matter what I go through, no matter where I go, no matter what I walk through, surely God's goodness and his mercy, they will follow me. That's interesting. That word follow implies that God's mercy and his goodness is pursuing you. Not the other way around. We're not the ones pursuing God's goodness and mercy. He says here very clearly, God's goodness and his mercy, they are following, they are pursuing us. Wow. Many of us think we have to pursue God's goodness and mercy, and we forget the fact that no, even in the valley, God's mercy and his goodness, they are pursuing, they're following us. I love that David is giving us this deep, rich truth of God's character. And David lands, if you will, in this incredible and powerful phrase where he says this, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is where David lands his ultimate confidence. And that is an acknowledgement that God's relationship with us is not a temporary one. It's not just occasional. It is something that is eternal. It is forever. And we can rest in that confidence that God's relationship with us, his care for us, is a permanent relationship. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, David says. You see, as I look at this as a song, David isn't just singing about moments with God. He's singing about a life with God. It's his rhythm. In the ups, in the downs, in the dark places, God is always his confidence. We started this with this simple phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. Question that we have to come to and be confronted with is this: do I actually live like that statement is true? Do I actually live my life like the Lord is my shepherd? See, John 10, real quick, John 10 says this as Jesus himself is speaking about this narrative of a shepherd and sheep. Jesus says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He goes on in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. He says it again. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. This is why we can trust the shepherd in Psalms 23. Because we know the good shepherd is Jesus, and we know the work he has done for each and every one of us to the point where he's laying his life down for you and for me. Amen? If you're here today and you've never acknowledged Jesus as your shepherd, I want to challenge you and encourage you. Today is the day. He's not asking you to live a better life or to try harder. All he's asking for you to do is to trust him and surrender to his leading and guiding in your life. Stop trying to be your own shepherd. Come to the one who gave his own life to bring you in, to invite you to his table, and sit there with him and trust him. Be restored. Be renewed. Maybe you're a believer here and you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death and you just need to be reminded, man, even in the midst of this, I know that my God is with me. I want to encourage you as a believer in Christ, man, listen, trust him enough to rest. Trust him enough to obey. Trust him enough to let him lead. See, the shepherd's already proven his love for you. The hard question is, are we going to trust him enough to follow? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this reminder that David gives us in this wonderful psalm. We've heard it many times. Lord, it is such a powerful reminder for me to just trust you, to know that even in the difficult things in life, you've never left me. You've never abandoned me. You're right here with me. Lord, this is my confidence that you are who you say you are and you will do what you say you will do. You've never failed me. We sang it. Never. Never once. And as I'm reminded of how often you are there and you are present, I can just be so grateful and confident in you. Thank you for this wonderful reminder in my life. May it be an encouragement to those who hear it today. In Jesus' name, amen.